Good morning. Very thankful to be here this morning. I have a thought the Lord put on my mind, and it's mainly for those of us who have accepted Jesus as our Savior, but there's more to it. After that, I'm not saying this is exclusive. If you feel the Lord dealing with you to accept Him as your Savior today, then by all means. But the Lord has really been working with me on this statement, "Here I am." And I know that's not exactly how it's worded in the King James Version. Here it says, "Here am I," in the King James, but it's not really how we talk, so I put it in the way I would say it. But there's a lot has been being said about this verse recently, and it's been on my mind an awful lot. And I ask for your prayers, because I'm going to admit this message will probably get a little close, because it got really close to me, and I'm challenged, and I've felt very inadequate, and realized I had some work to do when I started really thinking about this and what this thought and what these verses mean. Obviously, this comes from the sixth chapter of Isaiah, where Isaiah found himself in the presence of the Lord. And we'll go ahead and read. We're going to read most of that chapter. Start in the first verse, Isaiah chapter 6. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims, each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." I'd like to maybe give a little recap from Sunday night. This kind of all ties in. So Sunday night, talked a little bit about the verse, "Arise, shine, for thy light has come," and talked a little bit about how we can tend to, the way light waves work. We mentioned how these bench cushions look blue because it's absorbing all the other light waves and it's reflecting back to me the blue light waves. And we could put filters on lights and make it where those don't look blue anymore. They could look probably more of a gray or a dark color, because maybe I don't want to see blue. And we talked a little bit about how in our humanity we can try to filter out what the Lord is sending our way, the light that the Lord gives us. We can tend to filter out the wavelengths that we don't really care for. We can put a filter on it and say, well, I want to hear from the Lord, but I don't want to hear that. So we can tend to try to fix what the Lord is giving to us and say, well, that sounds, it'd be a little better if we did it this way. But that's not what he commanded us to do. He told us to shine our light. We're a city, we're like a city set on a hill. We're to shine our light. We don't want to put it under a bushel. So in light of that, I want to bring us to today, where I guess you could call this a challenge and maybe a call to action on our part. That, you know, we read in the scripture, this chapter we just read, said that Isaiah, he found himself in the presence of the Lord. And his initial reaction was, he saw the beauty. We have a beautiful picture of what he saw. It says the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train, his robe filled the temple. It was a magnificent sight. And his first response was, "Woe is me." He felt completely inadequate to be in the presence of such a holy being. And his first response was, I'm incapable of being in your presence, Lord. And so at that point, you can look at that as acknowledging his faults and of repentance, because then what we see next is the seraphim coming and laying a coal on his lips, and he says, thy sin is purged. Well, to me, that sounds like salvation in my mind. It sounds like Isaiah had come to the presence of the Lord, acknowledging his lack of... We don't have any righteousness in ourselves. He had nothing to offer to the Lord as far as righteousness. He came to the Lord and said, I'm unclean, and I need you. And that's when the Lord purified his lips. And then, not long after that, he said, and I don't know the timing of all this, but he said, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall we send? And the statement said, here am I, send me. And if you read later on in this chapter, the task that God had for Isaiah was not a pleasant one. It was one to go, he told Isaiah right away, he said, you're going to go preach to your people, and they're not going to listen to you. You're going to go tell them all these things, and they're not going to listen. So God had already, is prepping him, said, hey, this is what I want you to do, but they're not going to listen to what you have to say. How depressing would that be, to be sent out on a job and knowing that nobody's going to pay attention to you? But the Lord, he didn't back down from it. My burden, and we'll get into this a little deeper, we all have something to do. Every single one of us has a call on our lives. I 100% believe that, and I believe the scriptures back that up. We can tend to fall into the trap of, okay, I've accepted. We can come down the altar. We can go to our call. However we accepted God as our Jesus as our Savior, however we accepted the blood of Jesus as our Savior, we can take that step and say, all right, I'm saved now. And then we stop. I'm speaking from my experience. You know, I claimed myself as a Christian for years, but I didn't ever truly say to the Lord, here am I, send me. Or maybe I said it to him, Lord, here I am, send me. But then I didn't follow up on it. I just sat there waiting for the Lord. All right, Lord, here I am, send me. Now what are you going to have me to do? But then what I did is just went about my business. I just went about doing my own thing, not concerning myself with you know, seeking what... Maybe what would the Lord have for me to do? There's scriptures talking about asking God for guidance. One is in James about asking, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God that giveth all men liberally, and it shall be given to him. Jeremiah, call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I'll hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Psalm 25 talks about, so when I think it was David saying, show me thy ways, O Lord, teach me thy paths, lead me in thy truth, and teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I guess my question to us is, have we sat down with the Lord whenever we realize that he is speaking to us and say, Lord, here I am. You can use me. And then go about seeking the Lord, about, Lord, what do you have for me to do? It's not, well, have you ever been on a, I'm thinking back to my college days. You ever been on in a group and someone volunteered for a task? They said, oh, yeah, I'll take care of that. I got it. And then comes time for the paper to be due or the project to be due, and you keep asking and keep asking, and they just, either they didn't do it, or when it comes back, it's... We used to do a lot of PowerPoint presentations, and I remember one time he said he was going to do his slides. One of the guys said he'd do his slides, and it came back, and it was the most basic it looked ridiculous. And so did he volunteer? He did. Did he say he was going to do it? He did, but he did something that wasn't going to get any of us a good grade. He said it without really meaning, having any intent, any drive behind it. He didn't have any kind of a purpose of like, hey, I'm going to do this with excellence. I'm going to try to figure out how can I make this, how can I help these other guys to get a good grade? How can I get a grade? Maybe he didn't care about his grade. I don't know. But how can I help, and now I'm talking in a spiritual sense, how can I help all of you? How can I help myself get to heaven, and how can I help y'all get to heaven? How can I help the people that I'm around get to heaven? Waiting on God. This is a trap of the enemy. Waiting, saying, okay, I'm saved now. Now I'm just going to sit around and wait for God to throw in my lap what he wants me to do. I think it's in Matthew where it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek all these things first, and then that is the most important part. All these other things will be added unto you, but seek God and his righteousness first. What is it that God has us to do? We all have a calling. Let's go read some scriptures. One is the 2 Corinthians. Y'all pray for me. I've got a lot on my mind. I pray that this burden has been heavy on my mind, and I want to deliver it in a way that the Lord would have me deliver it. It's so important. I feel a need for us to reach out to a hungry, searching world. I think we've seen recently how hungry people really are. We've seen a hunger, and I pray that we can be a light to these people that are actively seeking for something deeper. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20, it says, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. And then in Isaiah 42 and 6, we don't have to turn there. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. We can look at that and say, oh, well, now we all got to be teachers, preachers, song leaders. That's not the case. There's so many things, y'all, for us to be doing. I think that's a trap, and I'll tell you, that's a trap that I fell into, of thinking that there wasn't really anything for me to do. There wasn't anything for me to get involved with when I was a young adult or a teenager. But the Lord did have things for me to do. I could have done so much more when I was in college of reaching out to people. I could have done so much more and witnessing to people. And I feel sad about those missed opportunities that I had. I can't do anything about it now, but I can go from here on and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me for your glory. Use me for... I don't want anybody to look at me and say, he's got it all and he's got it figured out. I want, like Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I want people to be able to look at that and say, that man has a hold of something. I want to find what he has. I want to find the relationship with Jesus that he has. I want God to be able to count on me. And y'all, we have to do this urgently. I know we've been hearing for years, and I know it's kind of a cliche thing, but y'all, time is marching on and on and on. And I'm not trying to be a doomsday or anything like that. But it doesn't seem like there's a lot of time for us. This is not the time for us to be relaxed about our salvation or about our work, our relationship. It's not time to be relaxed about that. It's time to do this urgently. I've always been, well, let me back up a little bit. I'm very thankful that I have been born and raised in this country. I'm very thankful that I've been born and raised in a place where I can freely worship the Lord how I see fit. I'm very thankful that we live in a country that has, for many years, espoused Christian values, we see that slipping away, obviously. We see that has changed a lot in the last several years. But I'd like to read something from an excerpt from a speech from one of the great orators of our early country, some from Patrick Henry's speech. And I'm going to read this, but think of this not as a revolution that's about to take place in a physical sense, but think of this, I want to tie this into spiritual, because the words are very challenging. They tell us, sir, that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be the next week or the next year? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? Shall we gather strength by irresolution and inaction? Shall we acquire the means of effectual resistance by lying supinely on our backs and hugging the delusive phantom of hope until our enemies shall have bound us hand and foot? Sir, we are not weak if we make proper use of those means which the God of nature hath placed in our power. The millions of people armed in the holy cause of liberty and in such a country as that which we possess are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Besides, sir, we shall not fight our battles alone. The battle, sir, is not to the strong alone. It's to the vigilant, the active, the brave. Besides, sir, we have no election. If we were base enough to desire it, it is now too late to retire from the contest. There is no retreat but in submission and slavery. Our chains are forged. Their clinking may be heard on the plains of Boston. The war is inevitable, and let it come. I repeat, sir, let it come. It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are already in the field. Why stand we here idle? What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear, or peace so sweet, as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's a call to action, is it not? Now, I know that was a call for the colonies to unite and fight against the oppression of the British crown, but read that again, and I encourage you to kind of read that again in the light of this is talking about Satan and the forces of this world and the principalities that we talk about in the scripture, that's talked about in the scriptures, the principalities and powers of this world. Read that again in that light and think of it that way. Why stand we here idle? Our brethren are already in the field. Why would we lie supinely on our backs, hugging the delusive phantom of hope that everything's just going to be okay? Why would I lie here in this comfy little chapel? I have this nice little congregation. I have a pastor that teaches us the truth every Sunday. Why would I lie supinely on my back, hugging this delusive hope that everything's going to be peace and fine, and I've got everything I need? I don't need to step out and help anybody else. I've got it all right here. Why stand we here idle? And that's been a challenge to me, is why am I standing here idle? What is it? Are we not here? We've been commanded, I think it's also in Matthew, where he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel. Does it mean to go out into the world and get in a pulpit or get a megaphone and literally preach? Not necessarily. It means go out into your world. We spoke last Sunday night about, I have a light. If God has given me light, I need to carry that light and shine it out to everyone that I'm around. I think I made the comment last Sunday night of, if there's someone in my circles, in my life, that's actively, earnestly, honestly seeking God, seeking light, and they can't find it, well, shame on me. Why am I not shining the light to those people? Now, I know people have free will, so I'm not discounting, but if they are actively, honestly pursuing, seeking for true light, and I have it, then shame on me for not shining it out and letting it come out of me and not just... I want Jesus to be visible on me. I want for lack of better words, I want to look like him. I want to smell like him. I want people to see. I want to have an attitude like him. I want to be able to say, here am I, Lord, send me. Why am I standing here idle? The price, if we don't, like the speech from Patrick Henry, and like I said, I know this is a literal thing, but the price of it is the same. It's chains and slavery. And ultimately, it's going to be death if we don't get serious about this. Because I can tell you, if there is no, I think it was said here at some point, no action is an action. It's choosing to stop moving forward. And then inevitably, if you stop moving forward, you will eventually start moving backwards. Because time is more moving forward. And if you're not going to move forward, then how is God going to be able to use you? How is God going to be able to use us if I decide, okay, I got my salvation, now I'm going to sit here, like the speech said, I'm going to lie supinely on my back and hold on to this delusion of hope that now I've got it, I don't have to do anything else, and everything's going to be okay, I can just plug my ears and say la, 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 and everything's going to be all right. I don't have to move forward. I don't have to truly commit my life. It may be inconvenient, or I don't necessarily want to go there, or what if I have to sell my house and move across the country? You may. You might. So what? Because is that worth missing out on a heavenly home? Is that worth getting to the end of the way and saying, you know, you were so close. You were doing the right thing, and I asked you to pack up and move, and you wouldn't do it. And that was the beginning of the end for you. You started, you turned, and decided you didn't need to do that anymore. Y'all, this hit really close to me. It hit so close that am I willing? Am I truly willing to say, here am I, send me? And I'm not trying to paint a doom and gloom of that it's just going to be this awful experience. It's not. Serving the Lord and being a servant of God has so many rewards to it. Is it tough? Yes, it can be. And is it stressful? Yes, it can be. But I can tell you, and I think anyone in here that's lived long enough and lived for the Lord long enough can tell you that it is completely worth it. Even in this life, it's worth it. The amount of stress and the concern about whether or not the words will come out right, or whether or not you're being the proper example, seek the Lord and do your best. We don't have to be, we're not going to be perfect. I'm human. I'm not going to do everything perfect. Neither are you. You're going to mess up. You're going to have some things that you might have said and say, oops, I'm going to have to go back and fix that. You may have to go back and tell somebody, hey, that was it. I said something and, you know, I said that in error. That's okay. But be willing to stand up and say, send me, Lord. I'm willing. And then back it up. Go seek, what is it that Lord has for me? The scripture says that we are to be ambassadors of Christ. That's what it says. You can't sugarcoat that one. It says you're supposed to be ambassador of Christ. So are you? Are you letting your light shine unfiltered? We mentioned that on Sunday night, that if we're not careful, and I've been guilty of this too, I have light, and then I'm around people that I'm afraid it might not go over real well, so I filter that light before I send it out. I filter out the things that I think might offend, or filter out the things that I think might not go over real well. And so I filter that light out before I shine it out. I put the little red filter on so I don't shine out that's not okay either. Lord, help us that whenever I receive from the Lord something to share, that I'm willing to do it, even if it looks scary, even if it looks like people may not like it. There's a scripture, Isaiah 50. I like to read. This is an encouragement to me. There's lots of encouragement in Isaiah, I'll just tell you. One of them is Isaiah 41 and 13, where he said, fear not, I will hold your right hand and I'll help thee. But this is Isaiah 50 and 7. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? let him come near me. In other words, I'm not afraid. Bring it on. I'm not ashamed. I've set my face like a flint. I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus. I've decided that this is the way I'm going to go. And I'm not going to be ashamed. And then later on in that scripture, he says, who can contend with me? My justifier is right here with me. My Savior, my King is right here with me. And he says, let us stand together. Who's my adversary? Let him come. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid because I know who I serve. We sang a song, I know on whom my faith is fixed. I know that he is able to help me. If I end up like Abraham, where I have to move to a country I've never heard of before, or like Paul, where your entire life gets completely turned around, and then he spent the rest of his entire life traveling for the Lord. He counted it as a pleasure to be able to suffer with the Lord. Think of Mary. She immediately accepted the call of being the mother of Jesus. She did ask a question of Lord, how is this going to be? But she immediately accepted that. She said, as you said, how did she word it, about being unto her the handmaiden of the Lord, you know, I'm willing to do it. Here am I, send me. She essentially said that, Lord, I don't know what this is going to mean. I don't know how this all is going to work. But Lord, you can use me. I'll be the one to carry the Savior of the world. I don't think she realized how big of a sacrifice that was going to be. I don't think she could understand that. But do you think she regretted it for a minute? Do you think she regretted that she brought the Savior of this world into this world? I don't think she did. I think she... Yes, was it hard? Was it hard watching him on the cross dying? Was it hard watching him go through all the things? Obviously, I'm not a mother, but I see how my wife handles our children and the things that they deal with. And one of them is struggling, it hurts her. So I can only imagine that when Jesus was being humiliated and talked about in the streets and stuff, I have to imagine that was probably hard on her too. But she was willing to say, Lord, use me. Use my son. I think of Samuel. He, at a young age, he said, here am I, Lord. He went and answered. Well, he went and asked the prophet's name, Eli. He went and asked him, like, Lord, hey, why are you calling me? He kept doing that over and over. And finally, Eli said, look, that's not me. There's something else going on here. You need to go lie down and say, here am I. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Lord, use me. When you feel that moment that the Lord is starting to speak, stop what you're doing and say, Lord, speak. Your servant, I'm here. Use me, Father. Let that be my deepest desire. I want to read. I think this is probably Paul. I don't remember. I think it's in Acts 20. Someone correct me if I'm wrong, if this isn't Paul, but I think it is. Acts 20 and 24. I think it's Paul talking, or he's talking about him. It's talking about all the different things that happened to him through his life. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. None of those things that he went through changed his mind about who Jesus was and whether or not it was worth serving him. He said, my life, it doesn't even matter. I don't even care what happens to me. I want to further the cause of the gospel. And like I said, I know that can seem scary. It can seem scary to say, Lord, just take it all. But I also know my God, and he's a God of mercy. He's a God of patience. He's not going to say, all right, fine, all right, cool, you gave me everything, so now I'm going to take everything that you got. I'm going to take it. That's not how God works. He's going to, and if he does require something of us, guess what he's going to do? He's going to give you the strength and the patience and the courage to be able to do it. He's going to be right there with you, and it will be worth it. It will be worth the any sacrifice that we have to make. And y'all, I pray that I can be the light in my corner that the Lord has called me to be, that I don't worry. There's another verse in 1 Corinthians. I think it's 1 Corinthians 7. But as God hath distributed to every man, this is verse 17, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk, and so ordain I in all the churches. And in 24, brethren, let every man, wherein he is called, therein abide with God. Now, I'm not going to read all that, but in between those verses, there's some verses talking about, essentially, don't worry about what everybody else is called to do. Where God has called you, you abide there. Don't worry about what Brother Bobby's called to do, what I'm called to do. I can't worry about what all you are called to do. My job is to abide as God has distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called everyone, so let him walk. My job is to walk in the calling that God has given me. Every one of us has a calling. It may not be to be a song leader, a teacher, or a preacher, or it might be, I don't know. It might just be to be a light. It might be someone who goes to their closet and can move heaven with their prayers, because there is gifts that way. You go read in the scripture, there's all kinds of gifts available. Seek the Lord. Y'all pray for me, because I want to be able to truly come to the Lord and say, Lord, here I am. Send me. And then mean it. And then find a job to do. And I want to say this before I sit down. We also have to be careful that we don't get too zealous and just find a job and do it and be outside of the will of the Lord there too. Be careful with that, because it is possible to, well, I think there's even a scripture, I don't know if it's Paul, but don't let your zeal overtake your call, essentially. Don't be overzealous. It's easy. I'm a take the mountain type of person. Okay, I'm a personality that, let's take the mountain. Let's go. Don't worry about all the little details. Let's just charge and take it. We got to be careful about that too. We got to be careful about sitting back and being too cautious as well. There's a balance, and we all need each other, because I need, like I said, I'm that type of personality. I need people to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Let's calm down a second and let's think about this. But we also need all types. So y'all pray for me. I want to be a light in God's kingdom, and I want to be freely used by Him. Amen.